Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@ovbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
After today, we will know what is possible. That is what Florian Lipowitz said before the start of the sixth stage. And this announcement would prove to be true. Tough attacks from the start, an acceleration by Tadej Pogacar 42 kilometers from the finish, and an incredible battle by all the top riders until the very end. We are trying to sort things out later this evening, and for that I am passing Lipowitz's statement directly to Ralf Denk. What do we do now after a day like this? How much more do we know? My first impression would be that a lot is possible.
Yes, today on the stage we saw an outstanding Tadej Pogacar stage win, yellow jersey again. He was by far the best today. Fair play, congratulations. Everything behind that was hard fought, even before the mountains. There were situations where we were on the defensive because there was so much speed in the peloton and because we also made small mistakes at times. Also stopped briefly on the right to pee at an inconvenient time. But the race was very, very fast from the start. Then there were many breakaway attempts, but none really worked for long. And then there was the big showdown on the Col de Tourmalet, and Pogacar showed he is the best. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Let's go through this chronologically. I'll get right to it. And I assume that was the ill-timed break. When attacks were already happening on the flat, Remco Evenepoel was nearly a minute behind. That certainly wasn't planned. Was that actually a bathroom break, or what happened there?
Yes, what would you do? If you have to pee, you have to pee. And there was already quite a lot of pace in the peloton. We had 4 or 5 men wait, but it did cost a bit of energy, right? And the attacks up front continued, and he wanted to relieve himself before the big mountains, which I understand. And so it was quite a bit of work for us to get back. Mm-hmm. You managed that before it really started on the climbs. Yes, UAE definitely took over then.
It felt like it was brutally fast from the very beginning, even before Pogacar had done anything, so to speak. 9 kilometers before the summit of the Tourmalet, Jai Hindley, the last helper for Remco Evenepoel and Florian Lipowitz, dropped off. Were you worried then that it was too early, or how did you see it? Yes, first of all, the pace on the Col d'Asnal, the mountain before the Tourmalet, was already enormously high.
Team UAE Emirates took control here, and the group of favorites kept getting smaller and smaller. Yes, Jai Hindley was dropped 9 kilometers from the summit of the Tourmalet. That also has something to do with the fact that he did a lot of work earlier when we had that small gap. It would have been nicer if he had made it faster, but in the end, the way the stage played out, it didn't have a big effect. I don't think that Jai Hindley is currently strong enough to have ridden over the Col de Tourmalet with the Evenepoel group anyway. So while it didn't look great, it had no impact on us. Okay.
Yes, and then came the moment, the attack from, well, it was Isaac Del Toro first. Pogacar is still riding, well, maybe a minute behind, watches it, and then attacks away at the front himself. Yes, incredible how he can seemingly effortlessly distance the competition. How did you experience the moment when everything split up? Ifenepoel couldn't quite keep up at first, then had to close the gap on the descent. At first it looked like Lipowitz, maybe even with Vingegaard, was coming along. Then he teamed up with Paul Sykes. Everything was topsy-turvy there. How did you see that?
Yes, well, the acceleration or the attack was perfectly prepared by the Team UAE through their second spearhead, Isaac Del Toro. Bogacar then took off. Jonas Vingegaard countered massively, but was not good enough. Florian was almost able to catch up to Jonas Vingegaard, which would have made us super happy. But here too, the finishing touch was missing. On the descent, everything obviously came back together a bit and calmed down. But for the last 4 kilometers on the Col de Tourmalet, the best of the best in the world really went at each other. And yes, the result is very honest today. Pogacar was the best. Vingegaard was the second best. And then the group with Remco and with Florian came in. For us, it is a good result. We have to note that we are happy that we got two guys in the front. Between second place and ninth place, there is only about 2 minutes, and first place will definitely be difficult unless Tadej Pogacar makes a huge mistake or gets sick, but everything else is still wide open.
Let's look at the final part of this spectacle, specifically where the large group forms again at the bottom. There was, a bit of disagreement. You could see Evenepoel would have liked more help. They are perhaps trying to close the gap to Jonas Vingegaard again. Here are also two listener questions from Fabian, one from Luxembourg, and Sasha, who followed this and were a bit, annoyed that the group couldn't catch back up. Can you describe the situation and what your tactics were, or perhaps your instructions to Florian and Remco on how best to act on this final section? Yes, we hoped that the large group would simply work well together in everyone's interest, and I don't think we can blame ourselves for anything there.
We actually did more, especially Remco, who was probably the one who did the most in the group. The guys from Lidl Trek were also two in the group. It looked like they didn't take on as much of the lead work. It is sport, top level cycling. There wasn't much harmony in the group for whatever reason. Ultimately, we rode back up to within 20 seconds of Vingegaard, but if the group had worked together properly, we could have easily closed those 20 seconds. It was, of course, more of an Evenepoel terrain at the end.
After the race, Evenepoel made some critical comments regarding his teammate. He would have liked Florian Lipowitz, or so we heard, to lead him out to prevent Isaac Del Toro, for example, from securing that third place. There was some criticism, and he said they need to talk about it tonight. Can you tell us anything about that? Has that already happened? Did you hear anything about it? How are the two of them doing?
Yes, there was a bit of disagreement, a language barrier, but also in the heat of the moment, you know. That was after over 180 kilometers of mountain stage, but it was no big deal. And I saw it earlier, the two guys talked about it. So there's really nothing major. They even sat together at dinner and laughed. So the topic is being made out to be bigger than it actually was. Okay, that means the two will continue to act as a duo.
We now have fourth place for Remco Evenepoel, seventh place for Florian Lipowitz. As you already said, it is all very, very close. What strategy are you taking into the next races? You still have two irons in the fire. Today we got a bit of an impression of the strengths and weaknesses in quotation marks. What is your further approach with them now?
Just like before the stage today, nothing is going to change now, nothing at all. And now we have two quieter days ahead where we also want to catch our breath. Hopefully, as long as the wind doesn't get in our way and make the stage stressful, then we'll see. But currently, there is no reason to deviate from the plan at all.
All right, last point on that. Florian Lipowitz said at the finish that Pogacar is in a league of his own. He also clearly saw Vingegaard as the second strongest. That is how you just put it as well. Is it just about third place for you now, so to speak?
No, I heard that from Florian too. That was certainly in reference to today, just as I confirmed earlier. But in general, I don't see Jonas Vingegaard currently or looking at today as much better than a Florian Lipowitz or a Paul Seixas.
That means second and third place. If nothing happens at the very front, that will be, in my opinion, contested by seven people and nothing is decided yet. And you have two people among those seven. Thank you for your insights. Due to the late hour, we will take a very quick look at tomorrow.
There are, we have completely different terrain again, and it will be more for the sprinters. We are heading to Bordeaux, very, very little elevation gain. And I could imagine that the general classification riders wouldn't mind if things were a bit calmer tomorrow. What are you expecting there?
Yes, after tough Pyrenees days and all, I think the sprinters will want to have their say again tomorrow.
That is why the sprinter teams, Team Alpecin, Premier Tech, Sudal, Quickstep, both haven't won a stage here yet, will surely work together to keep the field together, I think, for their sprinters. And it suits us just fine if tomorrow is a bit more relaxed and calmer, provided, as I said before, the wind doesn't make the stage difficult and stressful after all. We will check that again tomorrow morning. But as far as I have been able to roughly check the weather forecast, there won't be anything major coming either. And therefore, we are hoping for a relatively relaxed stage.
Wonderful. And we will be back again. And this time we will speak to each other in our usual rhythm. Thank you for today and have a good evening. My pleasure and best regards to Rosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and Ippen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.